Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
लिखा है एक ज़ईफ़ा थी के जो मक्का में रहती थी वो इन बातों को सुनती थी मगर खामोश रहती थी वो सुनती थी मोहम्मद है कोई हाशिम घराने में वो कहता है खुदा बस एक है सारे जमाने में वो सुनती थी उबुल की लात की तजलील करता है वो अपने हक के फरमाने की यूं तावील करता है वो सुनती थी जो उसके साथ है वो है गुलाम उसका मुसलमान हो ही जाता है जो सुनता है कलाम उसका लिखा है वो ज़ईफ़ा एक दिन काबा में जा पहुंची उमुल के पांव पर सर रख उसने ये दुआ मांगी मैं तुझको पूजती हूँ और खुदा भी तुझको कहती हूँ बड़ा अफसोस है कि आजकल मैं रंज सहती हूँ वो गम ये है मोहम्मद है कोई हाशिम घराने में वो कहता है खुदा बस एक है सारे जमाने में मिटा दो उसकी हस्ती को तो ना ले कोई नाम उसका जिगर छलनी हो जाता है सुन सुन कर कलाम उसका दुआ करके उठी सजदे से और वो अपने घर आई समझती थी ये दिल में अब मेरी उम्मीद भर आई ज़ईफ़ा को खुशी थी अब
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to the midday show with myself Brother Suleiman Isup Monday to Thursday 12 to 1 p.m. Central African Time only on Marcus Sahaba the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah I hope that you are in a good mood and today being the first of Safar 1446 corresponding to the 6th of August 2024. Alhamdulillah, today we're going to be discussing, you know, in the first half of our show, we discuss current affairs, matters, what happened on this day. So inshallah, we're going to be hoping that Maulana Zaid will be joining us later inshallah, but we'll see what happens. Maulana has indicated that another 2 minutes, Maulana. Okay, so we're going to give, now it's 11 minutes past 12, Central African Time, and you can send in your messages on 084-786-31832, international and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 31832. Maulana, can you hear me?
Gee, I can hear you. Okay, assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Gee, you know, and Maulana, you did indicate that we must give you some time. You know, we gave you chutti yesterday, you know. We gave you chutti yesterday because you were busy. So you said, okay, never mind. Gee. I had, you recorded the show now with Mufti Saab. Oh, it's going to be live.
Mufti Saab is going tomorrow, Gee. So. Gee.
Oh, okay. So you had some takaza to do with Mufti Saab. Okay, mashallah. So, but yesterday we had a very interesting topic. You know, yesterday being the 29th of Muharram, and I managed to get a student of Deen.
Gee.
Right? His name is Hafiz Faisal, who is the son of the esteemed Maulana Mansur al-Haq from Rustenburg. And we were discussing the myth, you know, and debunking the myths of the month of Safar. And how people shouldn't associate, as Mufti Saab, you know, Mufti Saab will say, you know, the people came with the Lal Kitab. You know, he always mentions about Lal Kitab, you know, the Red Kitab. So the Hazrat was saying yesterday that the Rivaj, people's Rivaj, they come and they have, say, you know, you can't get married in Safar, you can't travel in Safar, And he mentioned a beautiful thing where he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La Adwa. That no calamity and no sickness will befall you unless through the will and the hukum of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yesterday we missed you, Maulana.
Gee.
We missed you, man. You know, your Mubarak voice yesterday, you know?
Please. The listeners must be like, please, we need some.
They're actually asking about you yesterday, and they said, where is Maulana Zaid? So I said, no, you know what? Maulana Zaid said he wants to, we're going to give him a little bit of a break, you know? Monday to Friday, we hear you. The news flash goes out, we hear you. So,
Maulana
just said, you know, give us a little break, inshallah. Maulana, what's your history and what's your knowledge on Jamaica?
Jamaica,
yeah.
The main thing we know of Jamaica is the love for
cannabis. But Maulana, from an Islamic perspective, I was doing some research, no? And I seen some things came up with regards to the first Muslims in Jamaica were actually West African Moors that was captured in the Reconquista, were sold as slaves to traders and brought to Jamaica on ships. And they said in the 18th, 19th centuries, they often wrote about the Muslim slaves in Jamaica and the situation. They wrote as many were able to memorize the Quran and declare the Shahadat and do all the basic faraid of a Muslim. So alhamdulillah, there's about 16% of them, which is about 37,000, were Indian migrants who migrated to Jamaica between the year 1845 and 1917. So alhamdulillah, there is a good percentage of Muslims and Islam in Jamaica.
Gee, and if you go into Mufti Saab's library, you'll see all this. Like, that's why I said it's a unique, Allah protected, but it's a unique library because it's got, you'll find different countries, Islam in different areas. I found one kitab, one book also, Islam in Maputo, Islam in different countries and areas which we don't even focus on. So also with Jamaica, it will be an interesting thing to look into, to do research as well, and to see how Islam was there. But also in all of these countries as well, like my parents recently went to Congo. So we may see that there are a lot of Muslims, but we need to ask the question, what kind of Muslims? My father reached Congo. He said he wanted to go to the masjid. And we often think Mufti Saab is, you know, it's just one way, the Shias, right. Like, but the reason why is because they're against the Sahaba, and this is Merkez Sahaba. And the other aspect is how they are infiltrating in different areas. My father said himself that when he reached there, he was struggling to find a masjid. If you go on Google Maps, the other day on Google Maps, I'm sure you saw it on the weekend, it was showing these terrorists, these squatters. They were trying to use GPS. It shows they're in Beirut. So I said in the newsflash that even they are not recognizing them as true residents of Palestine. They're showing them in Beirut. So when my father went there, he's looking for a masjid. Each one shows, and Shukri does, certain ones show Shia mosque, Shia mosque, Shia mosque. Then eventually he went to one and he asked, then is this, and he's rushing for Jumu'ah. So the person said, what's the difference between Shia and normal Muslims? So they have this idea that it's one and the same thing. And this is, of course, due to ignorance.
Right.
And that's when I said, hey, we better put our feet in these places because they are taking over. And we are just worried about our mansions, skyscrapers, this, that, while they are going in and corrupting our people. So when we look at Islam in these areas also, it's important to know what kind. In Germany, I'm sure you've been reading about the Blue Masjid.
The Blue Masjid is in Turkey?
There's one in Germany also.
Oh, okay.
And this masjid, it is the Shia Masjid. So they...
In Germany? Okay.
Over the end of July and now also, they're putting real restrictions on the Blue Masjid in Germany. And it is run by Shia. So it automatically, when you read it, you say Blue Masjid, our Masjid, this, that.
Right.
When you become relieved when you read that it's done by the Shias, it's a Shia Masjid. So they are bringing it down, and they are looking at 53 to 54 organizations in Germany itself run by the Shias. They're putting restrictions and bans. So we say, absolutely, we're happy. It doesn't harm us in the least because it's not our Masjid. And these people are coming out giving the wrong impression of Islam. It's much like ISIS, as well as this Boko Harami and the other one, Al-Shabaab, all these people, giving the wrong impressions of Islam. And just one more thing before I leave you. Inshallah, we'll do this here. We're just doing research on it so long.
Right.
It's called, you know, the Druze attack. It happened last week in Israel.
Right.
So these people, I'll just give you an intro. We thought it's Jews, but these are actually also, again, look how the Shia has come in again.
Mm.
They, if you go to their roots, Ismaili sect, a Shia sect called is the Ismaili sect. Mm. So normally we'll say Ismailis, Mufti Sahib even says that they are still like Muslims because they don't say Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and all those derogatory words that they use.
Right.
But you get now this Ismaili offshoot, you'll say, they stay with the Israelis in northern Israel. Automatically, we should be asking, how do they live in harmony with these people?
Right.
And then they get bombed by the Iranians, Hezbollah. And also, we read the statement today, in fact, about, it was Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. I was speaking about it in the morning.
Yeah,
so how inspiring wasn't that? And he wrote and he said, Hezbollah, because you read the verse, Allah, that listen, the Hezbollah, they are the successful. So they ask, is this the Hezbollah of today? He says, no, these are the Shias. And the Shias, and he draws that distinction. So Hezbollah bombs the Druze and while they're playing soccer.
Right.
Palestinians are dying just close to you. You're playing a soccer match and total peace and everything. So it raises questions. These are not Muslims. And even these people, they believe in that once you die, you come back in the form of another Druze, not another person, other
like
religions.
Like reincarnation kind of thing.
Reincarnation, but Hindus will say you come back as any other person or as a bird or something like this. They say you come back as another Druze, not a Jews.
Yeah.
Druze. So, and then this is the total kufr. And if you see how they dress also, they've got long moustaches. Some have beards, some don't have. They wear turbans also. Here's the last point, and then you'll ask. I think you have something to ask.
Mm.
So their sons, they are proud of the fact that their sons participate in the Israeli army to fight against the Palestinians. So they are totally happy living there. But their focus also is on targeting the Palestinians. So they are enemies totally.
But they are part of the Islam Ismaili sect, right?
Yeah, their roots.
Their roots.
Hmm.
But they are so-called Muslims.
So-called Muslims, yeah.
And they're living with the Israelis.
Yeah. They speak Arabic.
Yeah.
They are Arabs also.
Right.
But it's
so,
just...
But what do they follow? Like, what religion?
You see, the difference or the difficult part here, the challenge is they don't allow their books to come out. You won't find their books on internet or anything. So the information is, they keep it amongst themselves.
We don't know what religion they're following.
Yes. And that already raises red flags. Because why? And their women folk, their daughters, can only marry in their families. They can't marry outside. So it shows that there's something fishy going on. You'll only do that.
Yeah.
And if you can't just become like what they call a khalifa or something, their khalifa.
Yeah.
Because you have to be so corrupt, then they'll give you permission. It's like a shaitani thing.
Yo.
The more shaitani you have in you, the more they'll raise you up.
There's some. We're speaking of these countries, Mulana. An interesting fact here that I'm reading. It says there's a youngster by the name of Muhammad Khan who came to Jamaica in 1915 at the age of 15. And he built Masjid al-Rahman in a Spanish town in 1957. Imagine the age of 15, he's building a masjid. Subhanallah.
Mm.
But like again, we don't know whether...
But we'll just take it as, inshallah, it's Muslims.
Inshallah, Muslim and not any other type of other Muslims. But Mawlana, you've been well. The weekend was okay.
Gee.
What's new on your side? What can you tell us? Anything interesting happened?
Yeah, interesting is what I heard about this Mawlana Sataria. I was really inspired. My brother-in-law, he stays right next door. So when he told us this, I felt really motivated. I'm not sure if you heard too much of it, but when he got kidnapped recently.
Mm.
And then for that few days, he was He was tied to a chair. And I said it in the morning, but perhaps there's different listeners now, so we'll say it here too. So as he was tied to the chair, he didn't waste time. He was making Yasin Khatams. He was reading thousands of durood upon Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when they came to him, they said, why don't you send out a message to your family? He said, no, I don't want to. He was giving them like a bit of a tough time, yeah, appeal. And then they said, okay, why don't you just send a message? And because now they're forcing him. So he takes the phone, he says, these people are telling me to say these words. And then he says that he's well and he's fine and everything. But imagine, this is the point that you want to highlight. You know, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam is put in the fire. Mm. That becomes the best part of his life. Kuni barda wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah addresses, Ya naru, kuni barda wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And this is what tabligh is all about. Difficult, challenging conditions, but in that you find peace. You're sleeping on the floor, sunnah, but you're getting the best sleep. You're eating on the floor, sunnah. For you, it looks difficult, but you're getting, the outcome is great. So he says this was like one of the best times of his life. He's kidnapped.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is like one of the best times of his life.
That's having tawakkal in Almighty Allah. That's when exactly. You have, your iman is at such a high level.
Mm. Exactly. And then at the end, they say, before he left, he invited them to Islam.
SubhanAllah. Still giving that work of the Ahmad.
And he got stabbed a few times in all of this year.
Right.
So they say, I'll just say this part and I'll have to leave for the newsflash. So they stabbed him on his hand, on his arm. It was bleeding. They didn't call any doctors or do anything. But they left it and by itself, it healed. This is, as you said, tawakkul. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts their trust in Allah, then Allah is sufficient. Our Ustad used to explain it beautifully. You're a small boy and you're flying to another country. So a person comes, he approaches this boy and he asks him, with who are you going? He points to his father. He says, where's your baggage, your luggage? He says, there with my father. Where is your money? Points to his father. Where are you going to go when you're there? How do you know where to go? He points. Every answer he's giving, his father.
Mm.
So like this, our tawakkul is supposed to be on Allah. We don't know how we're going to get out of these conditions. The questions that are coming in, you feel sorry for people, you're speaking to different people. Brother Suleiman, on the weekends, I don't know about you, but how many people we're meeting that are sick, going through so much of difficulties, and sicknesses like you never heard before, and you just pity their situation, and you just make dua for them at there and there, but Allah Azawajal grant them all shifa and make it easy. But the ummah is going through this kind of difficulty. But when you think of all of this, I'm sure with you also in your life, Suleiman, that when you're experiencing some difficulty, because we're busy with the news, and you just say, Ya Allah, look at these people, what they're going through. And that already is solace for you.
No, definitely, Maulana. And you know what, my marhum father, Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. And whenever he used to speak to anybody after his passing away, they always used to say, you know, your beloved father was a gem. And every time he ended his statement, he says, have tawakkal in Allah.
Mm.
And you know, the famous saying he always used to say, Allah can do with the means, without the means, against the means, beyond the means.
Mm. SubhanAllah.
Which always stuck with me. And something I realized, you know, a very tasbih, nah? If what we fail to do on a regular basis, and I only started implementing it recently, is the tasbih of astaghfar and durood. Sometimes we might think that, you know what, astaghfar is just to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our sins or for whatever we did, but we don't know how much impact and how much blessings is in astaghfar on its own.
Exactly, G.
I've seen since like in the beginning of the year, I've started that astaghfar tasbih. Wallahi, Maulana, I've seen things that I never expected would happen. Wallahi. Personal experience, Maulana. Personal experience. I said, yo, subhanAllah.
And that's what the Quran Sharif is telling us, that istighfar takes you out. You were saying about, normally we think that istighfar is just for sins.
Yeah.
But Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, In one narration, 70 times. Another narration, 100 times. 70 and 100 is both to denote a high number. So, and then you turn to the narration where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is addressing Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying that even if you had sins, there's no sins, but past, previous, present, all forgiven. So what's the need to cry like this? So he said, it is, shall I not then become a grateful servant? Imagine, I am full of sin and I don't cry like that. He is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is crying because of the gratitude, the bounty. When will we, now that is Anbiya alayhi wasalam. So, but we should aspire for this. So istighfar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. And 70, 100 times in another narration. As yeah, you know, sometimes you say something, but when your own experience is this, that's why I say with the recipes, we have to test it so that we speak.
But that's the thing. I will make sample dishes and we'll bring like small portions. Obviously, everything will be kosher. But
I'll
just don't have to worry about that there.
No, I'm just saying because when you speak, like Mufti Sahib said, you must speak with, like you just said now about the istighfar. For me, it boosts you because this is someone's experience. That's why, you know, when a brother comes back from Jamaat and he gives his experience of how he spent
his,
it has a louder message than someone who's just giving a normal talk because it's his personal experience. So like your father, Rahimullah, he was also a major player
in the work of Tabligh. He was very strong, very, very strong. Like every, and I know, like every istima. My father used to go for istima, used to stay over for 3 days. From the istima, Mulana, he used to go for 40 days.
Allah.
He used to make the intention to say, no, I'm going for 40 days. I'll see you all when I come back, inshallah. Then he used to phone us, he'd say, no, I'm here. You know, he used to go like, local. Sometimes they used to go Eastern Cape, Transvaal, Bat Plas, all those places. So alhamdulillah, you know, Allah give him Jannat al-Firdaus. Make it easy for him, inshallah.
Ameen. Brother Suleiman, you give us ijazat, inshallah.
No, definitely. Mulana, jazakallah khair. And once again, may Allah grant you everything of the best for deen, dunya, wal akhirah. And inshallah, tomorrow, inshallah, we can discuss on what we can speak for. And you know, for the next 15 minutes or so in the beginning of the show, we can brainstorm, we can work on something, inshallah.
Inshallah. Also, this is what I say also for the morning program as well. Our listeners must tell us what do you want. Like you've suggested and you've told Suleiman you like, enjoy recipes.
Yeah.
So there, he's now, we do something for the listeners that they enjoy.
Yeah. And otherwise, I always say that, you know, if you find there's something that we said wrong on our part, you know, you can always message and say, you know what, you should have said it like this here.
Yeah.
Or give us a suggestion that maybe this is the topic that we can speak about, and then inshallah tomorrow we can discuss it and go into that. We can look at it from an Islamic perspective, you know?
And like the cumin, we said the other day.
Cumin, yeah. So yeah, say cumin,
we learn. But yeah, I want to highlight this point, Brother Suleiman. We're willing to learn the vocabulary of the kitchen, but are the women willing to learn the vocabulary of us men?
Hey, Mulana, you're touching on the red line on a very dangerous zone. That's a red tape line there. But inshallah, Mulana, we give you ijazat. We shall speak to you tomorrow, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu fiik.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that was our beloved Mulana Zayed Khan. Damat barakatuh. And inshallah, we're going to go for a small break. And when we come back, it is going to be our recipe segment. You can send in your messages on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. جب کی پیدا ہوئے ہیں ہمارے نبی بول بالے نبی پیارے پیارے نبی جب کی پیدا ہوئے ہیں ہمارے پیارے پیارے نبی دونوں عالم کی آنکھوں کے تارے نبی اپنے نازک لبوں سے پکارے نبی
You are listening to Merkaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
26 minutes to 1 Central African time. This is the midday show with myself, Brother Suleiman Isup, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. This is our recipe segment, so inshallah, our first recipe that we're going to be doing will be, it's called the baked crumbed chicken. Baked crumbed chicken. So your ingredient, what you're going to need, you're going to need a 500 gram of chicken fillet. 500 gram of chicken fillet. 1 tablespoon of ginger garlic, 1 tablespoon of ginger garlic, 1 tablespoon of garlic paste, 1 tablespoon of garlic paste, 2 tablespoons of green chilies, 2 tablespoons of green chilies, 1 tablespoon of crushed cumin, 1 tablespoon of crushed cumin, 1 tablespoon of lemon pepper, 1 tablespoon of lemon pepper, 1 tablespoon of salt. I'm assuming it's fine salt. But we're going to have 1 tablespoon of salt. Then you're going to use 3 tablespoons of lemon juice. 3 tablespoons of lemon juice. 1/4 cup of flour, 1/4 cup of flour, 2 tablespoons of gram flour, 2 tablespoons of gram flour, 2 large eggs. 2 large eggs, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, breadcrumbs, and olive oil. So I'm going to repeat that ingredients for you. 500 gram of chicken fillet, 1 tablespoon of ginger garlic, 1 tablespoon of garlic paste, 2 tablespoon of green chilies, 1 tablespoon of crushed cumin, 1 tablespoon of lemon pepper, 1 tablespoon of salt, 3 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1/4 cup of flour, 2 tablespoons of gram flour, 2 large eggs, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, breadcrumbs, and olive oil. Then a listener sent in also a cucumber salad recipe. So you're going to have 1 cucumber. Now, I don't know if it's English cucumber because you get different types of cucumbers. So I'm not sure. They just said 1 cucumber, or they got you 1 English cucumber. See? 1 English cucumber. 1/4 cup of olive oil. 3 tablespoons of lemon juice. 1 fresh red chili. Then they say here, salt and freshly ground pepper to taste. Then they say 5 to 6 sprigs. Can somebody please tell me what is sprigs of mint? Then the method for the crumb chicken. So you're going to cut the chicken fillet into long, thick strips. All right? You're going to marinate it with spices and leave overnight. Cut the chicken fillet into long, thick strips. Marinate with spices and leave overnight. Preheat oven to 180 degrees. Preheat the oven to 180 degrees. Combine the flour, the gram flour, baking powder, and then add it to the chicken. So you're going to combine the flour, the gram flour, the baking powder, and you're going to add it to the chicken. Then you're going to add the eggs to the chicken and mix well. So you're going to add the eggs to the chicken and mix well. Then you're going to coat each piece of chicken with breadcrumbs. Okay, you got a message that said sprigs is branches. So for the mint, you're going to put 5 to 6 sprigs of branches of mint. Then we're going to leave it in, we're going to leave it in the fridge for 30 minutes. So we're going to coat each piece of the chicken with breadcrumbs. Then you're going to leave it in the fridge for 30 minutes. Then you're going to drizzle olive oil over the chicken strips. Drizzle olive oil over the chicken strips. Then bake uncovered for 20 to 30 minutes until tender. Bake uncovered for 20 to 30 minutes until tender. So that is the recipe and the method for the crumbed baked crumb chicken. What's it? Baked crumb chicken, dear. Then for the salad, you're going to cut the cucumber with the peel into ribbons with a potato peeler. Then combine all the ingredients together except for the mint. So you're going to cut the cucumbers with the peel into ribbons with a potato peeler. Then you're going to combine all the ingredients together except the mint. Then you're going to place the cucumber ribbons on a platter and garnish with the branches of mint. So that is your baked crumb chicken. So we're going to give that recipe again. I'm just looking for something quick and easier. Okay, I don't know if you did this one. Stir-fry rice. This ingredient is for stir-fry rice. So you're gonna need 2 cups of cooked rice. 2 cups of cooked rice. If anybody knows what type of rice that you could use, then you can please send me a message. Because, you know, sometimes people are very, very fussy with the type of rice that you use. So anyway, 2 cups of cooked rice, 1 cup of grated carrots, 1 cup of grated carrots, 1 large chopped onion, 1 large chopped onion, 1 red pepper chopped, 1 red pepper chopped, 3 green chilies chopped, 3 green chilies chopped, 1 cup of chopped cabbage, 1 cup of chopped cabbage, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 1 tablespoon of garlic, 1 tablespoon of garlic, 1 tablespoon of soya light to taste. What's soya light? I don't know what soya light, but it's written here soya light to taste. 1 tablespoon of sesame oil. 1 tablespoon of sesame oil. And if you want, it's optional, 2 tablespoons of peanut oil. Peanut oil. 2 tablespoons of peanut oil. So the ingredients are again, 2 cups of cooked rice, 1 cup of grated carrots, 1 large chopped onion, 1 red pepper chopped, 1 red pepper chopped, 3 green chilies chopped, 3 green chilies chopped, 1 cup chopped cabbage, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 1 tablespoon of garlic, then you're going to have a soya light to taste. Soya light to taste, and 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, and 2 tablespoons of peanut oil. That's if you want the kocher, optional if you want, right? Light soya sauce, light sauce, light soya sauce. Is it a type of sauce? Now for the method. Keep the above ready before you start cooking. 1 cup of cubed chicken, lamb or shrimps or headless prawns. Okay. 1 cup of cubed chicken, lamb, shrimps or headless prawns. Or is it all together? 1 egg. Then you're going to heat the wok. What's a wok? Can someone explain what's a wok? W-O-K. Heat the wok with 2 tablespoons of oil. Or is it like the round dish? It's like a, when you make samosas, you put it in like that bowl kind of thing. Wok, no? Then you're going to stir fry the onion, the ginger garlic. Stir fry the onion and the ginger garlic. You got a message saying that you can use any rice of your choice. They use generally basmati rice. Okay. Then another message about the sprig. Don't use too much, not a bunch, just a little bit. A wok is like a coriander, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, the wok is right, where you like make samosas, you know, you put your oil inside, right? Then they say, where's this thing? About a wok. With 2 tablespoons of oil, stir fry the onion, ginger, and garlic. Then you're going to add the chicken or your choice of meat. So you're either going to add the lamb, the shrimps, the headless prawns, or the cubed chicken, right? Lastly, you're going to add the vegetables and stir. So you're going to add the chicken or the meat of your choice. Then you're going to add the soya. Save like a bowl. Okay, jazakallah khairan. For everyone who tell me what a wok is, I understand now. Jazakallah khairan. So you're going to add the soya, sugar, sesame oil, and the cooked rice. Add soya, sugar, sesame oil, and the cooked rice. Then you're going to cover the wok with a loose lid to settle the flavor. Then you're going to cover the wok with a loose lid to settle the flavor. But before you serve the dish, you beat the egg and you're going to make an omelette, right? So you're going to beat the egg and make an omelette. Then you're going to remove the heat, cut into small strips and mix with the rice. Remove from heat or remove from the stove. Okay. So the method, you're going to keep the above ready before starting, right? So you're going to have your 1 cup of cubed chicken, lamb, shrimps, headless prawns, right? That is your, what you're going to use. Whatever meat you want to use, you want to make a prawn stir fry, chicken stir fry, mutton stir fry, shrimp stir fry, you're going to keep all those there, right? Then you're going to take 1 egg, going to heat the wok. I think today I learned what a wok is. What a wok is. I learned what a wok is. I will never forget what a wok is. Right? So you're going to heat the wok with 2 tablespoons of oil. Right? Then you're going to stir fry onion, ginger, garlic. Onion, ginger, and garlic. Then you're going to add the chicken, the cubed chicken, or the meat of your choice. Right? Then you're going to add the vegetables and then you're going to stir. You're going to mix it nicely, nicely, nicely. You're going to mix it. Right? Then you're going to add the soya, the sugar. Okay. Soya, sugar, sesame oil, and cooked rice. Your cooked rice. They're like the listener sent a message, said that you normally use basmati rice, right? Then you're going to cover the wok with a loose lid to settle the flavor. Then before you serve the dish, you beat the egg and you make an omelette. Then you're going to remove from the heat, cut into small strips, and make a mix into the rice. And there you have your stir fry recipe. So today we gave out a stir fry recipe and we gave out a baked crumbed chicken. So it's, what now? 7 minutes to 1 Central African time. You know, we have to because our show is so short, right? Not short, but we have to incorporate, we have to give time for our Dhuhr Azan. So we're going to finish off now. If you have any other messages that you'd like to send, any other recipes that you'd like to send, you can send it through on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Like to say Jazakallah Khairan to all the listeners who sent me a message and told me what a wok is and what the soya light sauce is. You know, I highly appreciate all you guys' help. May Allah Ta'ala grant you everything of the best in this one and akhirat. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, and myself with the midday show every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. Fi amanillah, ma'a salama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة.